back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line one of my favorite guests, and I'm sure yours too, and that's Bill Federer. Hi, how are you doing, Bill?
Oh, great, Dr. Stan. It's always an honor to be with you.
Well, now, were we going to talk about the Constitution today? What did you have in mind?
Well, September 17th is Constitution Day.
All right.
It was in 1787 that it was signed there by the Constitutional Convention. And by an act of Congress just this last session, they designated for all schools to celebrate Constitution Day. And, of course, there's a certain element that doesn't want us to go back and study our history, and they were a little upset at that. But nevertheless, it is important for us because basically the Constitution is limiting the power of the federal government.
But you see, Bill, there are people who don't believe in the Constitution. There are people who want all power with Washington, D.C., because that is how they will control our lives from the cradle to the grave. I think that the average individual doesn't understand that some of these people are working within Washington, D.C., holding office. They've sworn to uphold the Constitution, but they don't believe in it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've done in researching the Constitution was finding out that only 39 signed it. 55 men wrote the Constitution, but only 39 signed it. And of course, we think, well, wait a second, I thought they all did. Well, no, they all signed the Declaration. New York abstained, but all the rest of them signed. But they didn't all sign the Constitution. 39 did, and the rest didn't. About 16 did not. And you ask the question, why did the ones that not sign it? Well, the reason was they didn't think the Constitution put enough limits on the power of the federal government. You had men like Patrick Henry and Samuel Adams were actually against the Constitution. Why? Because they didn't think there were enough limits on the power of the federal government. And we have to remind ourselves, their only frame of reference was Europe. And in Europe, they saw the errors of monarchies, where a king held all the power. In England, the king was the head of their country, the commander of their military, and the pope, so to speak, of their Anglican church. I mean, King Henry VIII and King George III was the ultimate monarch. And so our founders saw the problems there. So they set up a system of government with limited power. And they did this by separating it into three branches, separating it again from the federal to the state level, and then tying it up with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. And over a period of time, we've seen that every time there's a crisis, whether it's a crisis of the Civil War or World War I or II or FDR, that the power ends up getting reconcentrated into the hands of fewer and fewer people. I like to say there's only two types of power in the world, concentrated power and separated power. And all our Constitution does is separate power. So the only alternative to our Constitution is to let it get concentrated, which it would ends up in despotism.
And I think what people have to understand is that Bill Clinton, right after the Oklahoma City bombing, had tried to pass a lot of legislation, to take away our freedom. It wasn't going to have any effect on the terrorists. He couldn't get that legislation through. But after 9/11, why, of course, Bill George Bush, the conservative Christian leader of the country, was able to get through all of Bill Clinton's legislation and begin to restrict the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment and begin transferring all power to Washington, D.C. in the name of course, defeating Osama bin Laden, who's living in a cave over in Pakistan, or is he? Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, William Federer. Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is William Federer, Bill Federer, and Bill, of course, has written a number of books. We carry America's God and Country, and of course, he puts out a Constitutional Minute every day. He actually has all sorts of things, books we carry on Santa Claus and St. Patrick and on George Washington Carver. And what's that latest book you've written, Bill?
It's called Backfired, A Nation Born for Religious Tolerance No Longer Tolerates Religion.
And we actually carry that one as well. But today Bill is going to talk about the Constitution. September 17th is Constitution Day. Now you have to understand, those people who would enslave us, those people who want all power centralized in government, and to do away with the restrictions placed on government in the 4th and 5th and 10th Amendments, why they're working 24 hours a day, life by night, talking about, oh, compassion, talking about how we've got to defend the American people from those wicked terrorists, and at each step, why they take away more and more of our freedom. They're really not interested in the terrorists. They're interested in power. And so if you understand that liberty and limited government is synonymous with the tyranny and total government in the hands of the tyrants in Washington, D.C., in the name of compassion, in the name of doing away with injustice, it's all about power. So pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, it's interesting. Some quotes about power. Here's John Cotton, who was the colonial leader there in Boston. And he said, whatever power is given will certainly overrun those that give it. Let me say that again. Whatever power is given will certainly overrun those that give it. It is necessary, therefore, for all power on earth to be limited. Another quote from James Madison. He said, all men having power ought to be distrusted. Lord Acton, the parliamentarian in 1881, said, all power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. A couple other interesting quotations on power is George Washington's farewell address. Now, this was memorized in schools because it was so historic that the first time in modern era that a leader of a powerful nation voluntarily steps down. Washington, when he defeated Britain, he had people wanting him to be the king. Well, he resigned from the army and instead went back to farming in Mount Vernon. They couldn't agree on a person to lead the government, so they got him. He ran one term, two terms, and then he decided not to run anymore. Matter of fact, all other presidents, out of respect for Washington's example, only ran two terms, except FDR, who, believe it or not, got himself elected four times. He finally died in office. That's one of the reasons why death is good sometimes. Anyway.
Yeah, hold that thought right there. We'll bring our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Bill Federer, and we're talking about how we have to restrict the power of government. It doesn't matter whether they're terrorists. It doesn't matter whether Osama bin Laden's over living in a cave somewhere in Pakistan. We have to adhere to the Constitution, which our elected representatives are sworn to uphold, and which so many of them don't believe in, because it's all about power. Centralization in power in Washington, D.C., and using any justification you can. Oh, we've got to protect you. That's why we've got to take away your freedom in the name of course, protecting you from the wicked terrorists. So pick up the story there. I think that people have to understand that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
George Washington, when he was the president, he had people wanting to encourage him to stay president, and instead he decided to only run two terms, when he stepped down, he gave a farewell address. Now, this was the first time the world was witnessing, in modern era, somebody voluntarily stepping down from this tremendous position of power, so everybody was paying attention to what Washington said. This is his address. He said, and a fatal tendency to put in the will of the delegated will of the people the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which lifted them to this unjust dominion. I mean, here's Washington warning about, you know, a small group of people wanting to get control. And then another interesting address is Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was the president who ended the Bank of the United States. We had this bank started by Alexander Hamilton. He was the first Secretary of Treasury, and he started this bank, and its purpose was to try to bring order to our financial system, because we had hundreds of little local and city and county and state banks, and they were all issuing different monetary currencies, and so it had a legitimate purpose. But then it began to get too powerful, and by the time Andrew Jackson was president, the Bank of the United States was run by a guy named Nicholas Biddle, and Biddle boasted of having more power than the president, because he said the president will be out in 4 years, I'm still going to be here. And he determined what the interest rates were going to be. There were 24 regional banks to the Bank of the United States. And all the local communities, when the problem was the federal government's money was deposited in this private bank. So this private bank would use that money to leverage and change the interest rates. And plus this bank had foreign investors. So anyway, Andrew Jackson pulls the federal funds out of this bank and then later cancels the bank's charter. Well, Nicholas Biddle happened to own about 24 of the major newspapers in America. He happened to have paid for the elections of many congressmen and senators. And so they just lambasted Andrew Jackson, saying he was tearing up the Constitution. If you see the cartoons from the early 1800s, you see how they'll have crows coming and picking out his eye. I mean, all these gross cartoons. But they couldn't stand. But Jackson's wife died like right when he took office, and he was he loved her so much, and part of the campaign was so dirty because they were criticizing, his wife, and so he didn't have anything to live for other than the country, and that's what he did. But here's what President Jackson wrote about in 1832, and in the Bank Renewal Bill veto. He says, "It is easy to conceive the great evils to our country and to its institutions which might flow from such a concentration of power in the hands of few men irresponsible to the people. Mere precedent is a dangerous source of authority and should not be regarded in deciding questions of constitutional power." And so he's warning of it. And then William Henry Harrison, the ninth president, in 1841, he gave this excellent address. I just encourage everybody to read it. Of course, he only gave one address because he died. He died 30 days later. But his address, Daniel Webster helped him to write it. But he talks about the dangers that happen in times of emergencies. He says when, Caesar was coming into Rome saying that he wanted to help save the Republic, and he ended up destroying it. One of the quotes out of there, William Henry Harrison says that the tendency of power to increase itself, particularly when exercised by a single individual, terminates in virtual monarchy. And so he is warning about what would happen. And let me just, if I can, just read a couple more quotes from this address, just because it's so eye-opening when you... he actually talks about, he says, like false Christs, which were foretold by the Savior, there will be times of crises in which people usurp power, and he talks about Napoleon, talks about Bolivar in South America, and it's a big concern. So anyway, I'm saying all this to give you an example of the mindset that these early founders and early leaders in America had.
I give a quick quotation? I think it's very apropos of what you're saying. And basically it comes from Thomas Jefferson's The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. And Jefferson feared that the courts would be used to centralize all power in Washington, as they have been. And none of the things that we're seeing today, this terrible concentration of power, could be would have come to pass had it not been for our Supreme Court. And it's being taken over by people who had a different agenda. But this is what Jefferson wrote. "It has long been my opinion, and I have never shrunk from its expression, that the gem of dissolution of our federal government is in the constitution of our federal judiciary. An irresponsible body, for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction, until all shall be usurped from the states, and the government of all be consolidated into the one. To this I am opposed, because when all government, domestic and foreign, in little as in great things, shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks of one government on another, and will become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated. That's so apropos of what you're saying, Bill.
Oh, that is. Matter of fact, that's one of the quotes that I have in a chapter. I published a book called Judicial Tyranny, The New Kings of America. Mark Sutherland is the main author, but I was able to help him get a chapter by James Dobson, Ed Meese, Alan Keyes, Roy Moore, Phyllis Schlafly, David Gibbs, the attorney for the Terry Schiavo family.
And that must be a new book. You haven't told me about that one.
Yeah, just came out with it. And my chapter is called American Oligarchy. And it explains how, you know, we hear in schools them teaching that America is a democracy, a rule by the majority.
And that, of course,
now,
is
we're
a
not
lot.
A democracy because we're supposed to be a constitutional republic, but we're not that. Constitutional republic means that you have representatives. That's where the rep comes from in republic, the same Latin root. And constitutional means there's an anchor in stone that those reps can only make laws within a certain framework. But we're not that either. We're an oligarchy. When you can have 70% of the state of Nebraska vote to have marriage be a man and a woman, and one federal judge invalidates the will of the state, it's no longer we, the people, making the laws. When you have Arizona, the entire state voted to have English be their official language. One federal judge overruled. Arkansas passed term limits for politicians, but one federal judge overruled. California voted to stop state-funded taxpayer services to illegal aliens, but a federal judge overruled. Colorado voted to not give special rights to homosexuals, but a federal judge overruled.
I think with Judge Roberts' help on that, he was the one who intervened for the homosexuals.
Wow. Well,
that's not very well known, of course, because, after all, why would a man like that be appointed for the Supreme Court judge? Justice, go ahead.
Well, but we're seeing, and that's disconcerting to hear that, but what we're seeing is this trend for the federal government, which the federal judiciary, like you mentioned, it's unelected. And the danger is that, you know, if you want, there's two ways to change laws in America. One is convince the majority of the public to have the same views that you do, and then they get out and vote the majority of the congressmen and senators and vote for the president, and then they can enact your views into law. But if you cannot get the majority of the people to have your views, then how do you change the law? Simple. By getting activist judges to change the meanings of existing laws. I mean, you can simply do this by just simply changing the definition of the words that are in the law. You don't have to change the law, just change the meaning of the words. And a good example of how meanings of words have changed over the years, when Jefferson made his phrase separation of church and state, back then the word church meant church. Catholic Church, Anglican Church, you know, Lutheran Church. So when it was separation of church and state, it was separation of the Anglican Church and the state, separation of the Catholic Church and the state, separation of the Lutheran Church and the state. In other words, they just simply didn't want a repeat of Europe where the king also was the head of their church, you know, where where one denomination would have its headquarters set up in the White House. But in no way did they want to get rid of God. Otherwise, why would all 50 state constitutions mention God? But now that word church has been changed to mean any and all religious acknowledgement or activity. So when they're saying separation of church and state, they're saying separation of any and all, and I could even put in Judeo-Christian because they seem to be promoting the Wiccan and and Islam and Scientology, any other type of religion. And so we're seeing that the definition of the words have simply changed. So instead of it being separation of one particular denomination and the state, it's now separation of any acknowledgement of God in the state.
And I think it's so interesting to remember when this all really came about. It came about in the 1960s as our attention was diverted to the tragedy taking place in Vietnam. And while we were watching the flag-draped coffins being brought back to the United States and the weeping widows and the weeping wives, why, of course, the people in Washington, D.C. and the Supreme Court were passing and reinterpreting the law to allow the centralization of all power in Washington, D.C., as we move from freedom towards what I believe will be soon be a fascist society. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Bill Federer, and please hold your calls. We want to hear what Bill has to say, and if we need calls, we'll ask for them.
very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Bill Federer. Bill, go ahead with the story here. Your concern about this centralization of power in Washington, D.C., and of course, how it is eroding the very foundation of our freedom.
Well, here's another one from James Madison, and he's known as the father of the American Constitution. Madison said, in framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty is this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself. And the next place is where we're having the trouble here, you know. Andrew Jackson, again, he said, all history tells us that a free people should be watchful of delegated power and should never acquiesce in a practice which will diminish their control over it. And we see this, and our human nature works against this, because We want to get on the internet now. We want our coffee now, and we want the national problems solved now. Well, in order for them to be solved now, we've got to relinquish our power to somebody higher than us to be able to do it. You know, you look at withholding from our paychecks. I know that was an emergency effort to get money to fight Hitler during World War II. Well, when the war stopped, it didn't. And so the government still collected that power to be able to take money from our paychecks. You know, people criticize the federal government with not responding to the hurricane quicker. Well, I have to tell them, well, you know, we have city law, county law, state law, then federal law. So the federal government, you know, could not just willy-nilly roll in there and take charge. And the governor of Louisiana waited a whole extra day before allowing permission to the federal government to come in. Now, one of the things I'm concerned about is after this crisis, everybody's going to want the federal government to respond faster, and so they're probably going to, you know, change things so that the government can roll into town at a moment's notice and take over. So, matter of fact, it astounded me during the Hurricane Katrina thing to hear the governor calling for federal troops to come in to restore order in New Orleans. And, you know, the hair on the back of my neck goes up. I go, wait a second, there's the Posse Comitatus Act, which forbids federal troops from operating on domestic soil. You know, during the Civil War, we left our federal troops in the South to help restore order. Well, Rutherford B. Hayes was running for office, and in a very questionable election where the federal troops controlled all the polling places in the South, he got elected. Rutherford B. Hayes got elected, but, you know, you read history books, and everybody's pretty certain that that was a pretty fraudulent election. Anyway, because of that question about fraud, an act was passed causing that so that federal troops could no longer be marshaled in cities and towns in the South or in any city and town in America. And this was a step to prevent us from becoming a military dictatorship.
And I think that wise people have always feared that power would be misused to take away our freedom. That's why our liberty and limited government were synonymous. And people have forgotten that. They think, government can give us our freedom, can protect our freedom. No, down through the ages, it is government that has taken away freedom from people. What you need is limited government and moral people. But then, of course, we can't have moral people because the government is actively anti-God. They've taken God out of our schools and Ten Commandments out of our schools and prayer out of our schools. And they're doing, for instance, in the prisons. Yeah, well, it's all right to have a Koran, but they're not going to buy Bibles for our people there. Oh, that would be a terrible thing to do.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan once said, the government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have. And that's what we're seeing. And, you know, you brought up a very good point. Dr. Stan, I wrote a book called Three Secular Reasons Why America Should Be Under God. The third reason I quote in there is, do you like a country with a lot of laws or a country with few laws? Well, we all want a country with few laws. Well, in order for there to be order in society with few external laws, the populace has to have an internal moral law. And that was what John Adams meant when he said in 1798, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's totally inadequate to govern any other. So the government was designed to govern people who could govern themselves. And the more internal moral restraints the populace had, the less external legal restraints we needed, and we could be free. I mean, think of it. If everybody in the country believed the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, we wouldn't need any other laws. Nobody's going to rob, steal, kill, or rape. Why? Because they don't want it done back to them. But now we've changed it to say whoever has the gold rules. You know, we say give in to your lusts and passions and do whatever you want, and people do, and we cry, government, do something about all this crime. And the government says, okay, we'll restore law and order by taking away rights and freedoms, and they'll be big-handed. And it's very similar. And what I like to say is, you know, whether a crisis is conspired or simply coincidental, the consequence seems to be concentration of control, and that's what concerns me.
I don't blame you at all. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Here with Bill Federer, we're talking about Constitution Day. Do you really understand our Constitution, the foundation of our freedom? Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in
Russia in Siberia at the end of the Second World War. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast? Ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now.
Are you concerned about
423-0121?
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Bill Federer. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, we had a case earlier when the courts decided amiss during the early 1800s, and it was the Dred Scott case. Dred Scott was a slave. He lived with his master in several free states and then moved back to Missouri, and he sued for his freedom. He thought, gee, I was in the free state of Wisconsin, and there were blacks there, and they were from the same place I was from, Africa, yet they were free. And so the case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Democrat-appointed Supreme Court Justice Roger Taney gave the decision, and he said, slaves are so far inferior, they should be enslaved for their own benefit. Now, you talk about a racist decision by this Democrat-appointed Supreme Court Justice. Abraham Lincoln referred to this in his inaugural address. He said, I do not forget the opinion of some who say that all constitutional questions are to be decided by the Supreme Court. The candid citizen must confess, however, that if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by the Supreme Court the instant they are made, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent resigned their government into the hands of the eminent tribunal. And so here's, you know, Abraham Lincoln referring to exactly what we're seeing today. I mean, here you have a federal judge and forces his will. You know, if the definition of tyranny is a minority forcing its will on the majority. Again, a democracy, and we're not set up as a democracy, as a constitutional republic, but that term democracy means, demo means people, and ocracy means rule. So it's ruled by the people. And the idea is that the people vote their representatives, and then the representatives vote for the will of the people and make the laws. But it's a reflection of what the majority of the people want. When you have a minority deciding what's going to be the law, that's a tyranny. That's when you're being forced. And what we're seeing is a minority judges, a minority view. You know, this week's edition of Newsweek, I mean, this current issue of Newsweek is entitled Spirituality in America. And it has a poll in there done by Newsweek and BeliefNet, and they published it. And here it gives the religion breakdown of America. Right now, today, in America, according to the current issue of Newsweek, it says that 33% of Americans are evangelical Protestant. 25% are non-evangelical Protestants. 22% are Roman Catholic, and 5% are other Christian, which would include, you know, a Mormon and Latter-day Saints and so forth. But and then 1% Jewish. So here, according to this Newsweek magazine, you add all that up, 86% of the country is Judeo-Christian. Now, this is a self-identification survey. In other words, they call you on the phone and say, what are you? And this is how people identify themselves. So 85% of the people in America identify themselves as some kind of Christian, and 1% defines themselves as Jewish. That's what, 86%. There's only 1% atheist in America.
And that's why we got to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, because the judge said so.
Right. It's a minority forcing its will on the majority. So this is what tyranny is.
But I think, I think people would have to understand there is a conspiracy against God. These people have an intense hatred of God. That's what it's really all about. You can't understand. It doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, it has nothing to do with law.
Well, you know, and I do get your newsletter, Dr. Stan, and if anybody reads it, they're brought up to speed on really what's going on. I'm just very impressed by the research that you put into each and every one of those. Any one of those could be turned into a book. You know, there's an interesting quote from Timothy Dwight, and he was the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, the one who gave the famous speech that united the colonies, that sermon where he said...
A sinner in the hands of an angry God.
Right, right. And then Jonathan Edwards went on to become the president of Princeton. And that Great Awakening Revival swept the colonies, so much so that history books acknowledge it as responsible for uniting the 13 individual colonies prior to the Revolutionary War. And it was very important in our country's history. Anyway, Jonathan Edwards' grandson was Timothy Dwight. Timothy Dwight was the president of Yale from 1886 to 1898. And he gives this address on July 4th, 1798, in New Haven, Connecticut. The title is The Duty of Americans at This Present Crisis, Illustrated in a Discourse. So Timothy Dwight said this, about the year 1728, Voltaire, so celebrated for his wit and brilliancy, and not less for his hatred of Christianity and his abandonment of principle, formed a systematic design to destroy Christianity and to introduce in its stead a general diffusion of irreligion and atheism. For this purpose, he associated himself with Frederick II, King of Prussia, and Monsieur d'Albert and Diderot, the principal compilers of the Encyclopédie. That was a French encyclopedia where they changed all the definitions and got out references to Christianity and God. Anyway, it says, all men of talents, all atheists, and in all like manner abandoned. The principal parts of their system were, quote, one, a compilation of the Encyclopédie in which the great art and insidiousness, the doctrines and of natural as well as Christian theology were rendered absurd and ridiculous, and the mind of the reader was insensibly steeled against conviction and duty. Two, the overthrow of religion and the overthrow of religious orders in Catholic countries, a step essentially necessary for the destruction of all religion professed in those countries. Three, the establishment of a sect of philosophists to serve, it is presumed, as a conclave, a rallying point for all their followers, for the abrogation of themselves and their disciples of the places of honor of members of the French Academy, the most respected literary society in France. In other words, they were to be the in crowd, the clique, you know, sort of like what Hollywood is today. And it says, in this way, they designed to hold themselves and their friends as the only persons of great literary and intellectual distinctions in the country. Five, listen to this, the fabrication of books of all kinds against Christianity, especially such as excite doubt and general contempt and derision. Of these they issue by themselves and their friends, who early became numerous and immense number, so printed as to be purchased for little or nothing, and so written as to catch the feelings and steal upon the approbation of every class of men. Now, this new book called The Da Vinci Code is exactly that. It is a fabrication of books against Christianity to excite doubt and general contempt and derision. I mean, this Dan Brown's book on the Da Vinci Code, where it slanderously makes up lies about Christian origins, is exactly what Voltaire talked about. And then the sixth, and again, I'm quoting from Timothy Dwight, the president of Yale in 1886. He says, the formation of a secret academy, of which Voltaire was the standing president, in which books were formed, altered, forged, imputed as posthumous to deceased writers of reputation, and these books were sent abroad with the weight of their names. These were printed and circulated at the lowest price through all classes of men in an uninterrupted succession through every part of the kingdom. Now, Voltaire was French, right? Well, he rewrote this Encyclopedia Française, and he got control of the academia and the educational establishment, and he's promoting this irreligion. Well, the French had Napoleon. Napoleon conquered the whole known world at the time. And what came with Napoleon? Well, the French language. Well, what else? The French learning, the French encyclopedia, the French art, the French... So Napoleon spread this Voltaire anti-religion across Europe, and, you know... And anyway, the next step is Karl Marx drew from Voltaire. Karl Marx drew from the French Enlightenment, and he came up with his Marxism. And Karl Marx influenced Stalin and Lenin and all the communists. And so we see that it goes on. And then this, I don't know if I'm talking too much here. If you want me to go on, there's
you go right ahead.
And again, Timothy Dwight, president of Princeton, president of Yale. He says, while these measures were advancing the great design with a regular and rapid progress, Dr. Adam Weishaupt, professor of canon law at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, Germany, formed in the year 1777 the Order of Illuminati. I mean, this isn't some mystery novel. This is the president of Yale. He goes, this order is professedly a high order of Masons, originated by himself and grafted on ancient Masonic institutions. And I want to point out that word there, grafted on ancient Masonic institutions. Now, the reason I point this out is Washington and the early people in America that were Masons, they were not, it was not until the early 1800s that this French infiltration of the Illuminati groups like that grafted themselves onto Masonic orders. And I want to point that out so that when people say, well, Washington was somehow, you know, Washington wrote once when he was like, in 1790, he says, I was never the head of the lodges in America, and I only attended a lodge meeting once or twice in the last 30 years. Well, that means 1760, which means his whole entire public career, he hadn't been but once or twice, but that's Washington's own testimony. But again, this was prior to 1800. After 1800, and Washington writes about hearing reports of these other groups, such as Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati, trying to infiltrate the Masons in America, and he writes little comments about that. Anyway, let me read on here. Timothy Dwight says, in societies of Illuminati, doctrines are taught which strike at the root of all human happiness and virtue, and every such doctrine was either expressly or implicitly involved in their system. The being of God was denied or ridiculed. Okay, that sounds like Michael Newdow and the Ninth Circuit Court in California. The being of God was denied and ridiculed. The possession of property was pronounced robbery. I mean, Karl Marx said that communism can be summed up in one phrase, the abolition of private property. But here, he writes that the Illuminati wants the possession of property to pronounce robbery. Chastity and natural affection were declared to be nothing more than groundless prejudices. Adultery, assassination, poisonings, and other crimes of like nature were taught as lawful and even virtuous actions. To crown such a system of falsehood with honor, falsehood and horror, all means were declared to be lawful, provided the end was good. And that's the phrase, the ends justify the means. I mean, I go on. It's a long speech. But again, this is the president of Yale saying this. And he concludes by saying this. Religion and liberty are the meat and drink of body politic. Withdraw them, and it languishes. If indifference to either at any time becomes the prevailing character of a people, one half of their motives to virtuous, to vigorous defense is lost, and the hopes of their enemies are proportionally increased. He says, without religion, we may possibly retain the freedom of savages, bears, and wolves, but not the freedom of New England. If our religion were gone, our state of society would perish with it, and nothing would be left which would be worth defending. Shocking speech made back in
1898, as I remember. 1798.
Yeah, 1798, right. July 4th.
I remember it well. In fact, we have something called the Millennium Syllabus, and we have that that speech by Timothy White. We think it's such an important speech.
And it's printed, you know, there's a set of books called The Annals of America, printed by Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, everybody knows Encyclopedia Britannica. They print the Annals of America. You can go to your library and find it. You can pull out the one for, you know, it's a collection of speeches and letters throughout America's history. About every 10, 20-year segment of history, they pull out the most, you know, influential speeches. And they, Encyclopedia Britannica, pulled out this speech and printed it in their Annals of America.
But unfortunately, we don't teach this sort of thing in our schools. Today, we teach death education and suicide education. And, you know, we have sex education. Our kids know a lot more, though, about Marilyn Monroe than they know about mathematics. A lot more about sex than Shakespeare. Go ahead.
But, you know, I sort of gave a long answer to a short question, but the idea was that our founders designed a system of government to be have a populace that has moral internal laws. You know, but what's happened is we've been stripping away the internal laws, and chaos happens as a result. And so we cry out for the government to restore order, and the government does by putting in more strict external laws. So we're going to be controlled one way or the other. We either voluntarily do it ourselves internally with morals, or we're going to be controlled externally through a tyranny, through tyrants.
I think William Penn who said, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it, Bill?
It is. I spoke at Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum conference a few years ago, and the title of my talk was The Patterns of Power. We went from the concentrated powers of the monarch to the separated powers of the Constitution, and now after every crisis we see a reconcentration of powers. You know, Machiavelli lived in the 500 years ago. We're talking in the 1400s. Over in Italy. And in Italy at the time, they had lots of different kingdoms, and dukedoms, and princedoms, and papal states, and they were always fighting. I went to school in Rome during college for a semester, and we visited Assisi, you know, St. Francis of Assisi. And it's a beautiful little town up in northern Italy, and it's on top of a mountain, and there's this, you know, big valley all around, and then about 20 miles away is another mountain with another city called Perugia. And then there's another valley, and then there's another city, and there's, you know, and each city back then would have its own army. And they would fight their little bitty battles and their little bitty wars. And St. Francis was actually, you know, this was before he was a saint, he was just a young man. He was captured because he was fighting in one of these wars and was in prison for 2 years in Perugia. Now Perugia makes real good chocolate. Anyway, St. Francis, you know, then had a religious experience and turned his back on all the wealth and basically, you know, dressed in the brown sackcloth and went around barefoot and just preached the gospel and started the Poor Friars, the Poor Franciscans, and basically was bringing revival in the 12th century to Europe. But anyway, in Italy they had all these little kingdoms and dukedoms and they were always fighting each other. And this guy named Machiavelli came along and said, you know, we got to stop all these little infightings. He said, you know, if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop all these little wars. And we'd be great, it'd be peace. And so he wrote a book called The Prince, and he basically wrote it for Lorenzo de' Medici. The Medici family was very, very powerful in Florence. And in this book, he advocates that the ends justifies the means. In other words, if the prince wanted to conquer a city and the people did not want him to, if he rode in there with his army and conquered it, the people would hate him. But if the prince would pay insurgents to burn barns, kill cows, cause crisis, and the people would cry out for help, and the prince would come and stomp out the problem, he'd kill the guy that he paid under the table and nobody'd know the better, and the people would praise him as the hero. And so either way he conquers the city, one way he's loved and one way he's hated.
One way you create the problem and then you move in to solve the problem.
Yeah, it's good marketing, you know, you create the need and fill it.
We're going to be back, we're out of time, Bill. We could go on for a long time. Let's get your website out and your telephone number.
The website's AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com, and the toll-free number is 1-888-USA-WORD, 1-888-USA-WORD. And, you know, I know we're out of time, but this just highlights all the more reason why we need Supreme Court justices that believe in limiting the power of the federal government, not trying to expand it, and you know, hopefully the Lord will give us some of those.
I hope so, too. God bless. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try...
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our guest today, William Federer. If you haven't read his book, America's God and Country, or we have it on a CD as well, and then his book, certainly going into the background of George Washington Carver, or the story of Santa Claus, there really is a Santa Claus, and then, of course, his story on St. Patrick, other books we've talked about, the one on judicial tyranny, the one on on how America created freedom, and then, of course, now, of course, we do not tolerate Christianity anymore, and Backfired was the last book. So the book on George Washington Carver and Backfired, we do hope that many of you want to get his books. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand the move towards world tyranny and the destruction of America, we put together a syllabus 5 years ago. It was called the Millennium Summit. And, of course, just this last week, in fact, right now, they're still meeting 5 years later in New York City to plan your future and mine. Well, you need to know what we talked about and what that syllabus was. We had a video on the Millennium Summit. We had a four-tape set on the Millennium Summit. We had a syllabus, and interestingly enough, we have in that syllabus a copy of Timothy Dwight's speech. We have in that syllabus a copy of the letter that George Washington wrote in 1798 saying he had not been to a Masonic lodge in 30 years. And we have a copy of the Brahimi Report, which is put out by the foreign minister of Algeria, talking about how they're going to have a world army and disarm us common folks and establish this world tyranny. And, of course, then the whole history of this whole move to create a world government going back 6,000 years to the Garden of Eden, and of course they're planning in in New York City today to fulfill that. You need to get our Millennium Syllabus. It's got a lot of great history, and I suggest either the video or the four tape set to go along with it. You'll have the things right at your fingertips, including a Timothy Dwight speech, the letter from George Washington, and so much other material you need to have to understand that there is a conspiracy today against God, and that's what it's really all about. So once you understand that, everything begins to make sense. Otherwise, nothing really makes sense. Bill Feder was talking about our newsletter. Well, we'd be glad to send you a free copy. Of course, we really hope you'll subscribe or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, where you get our four best tapes of the month, either tapes or CDs, every month, and then you get our monthly newsletter for $20 a month or more. Of course, we hope it'll be more, but whatever you can give helps us as we reach out across America. You can just subscribe to the newsletter. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can, of course, go to our internet programs. You can listen directly or indirectly 5 hours a day. You can listen to our archive programs. You can pull down our newsletters. You can notice we do carry the Big Berkey products, and if you get a Big Berkey water filter, and if you don't have one, you should, especially when you see what happened to the people in New Orleans and over there in Mississippi who didn't have access to water, fresh water, drinking water. You can get the Big Berkey through us. If you do get the Berkey products through us, you either get a four-tape set or video we produce as a special bonus. And then, of course, we want to once again mention we are having our annual conference November 19th. That's a Saturday, all day long here in Santa Cruz. And Monterey Bay's area is a beautiful area to visit that time of year. You have to call ahead of time, however. We have to have reservations because we're serving lunch. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, go to our web page and look at the various books we have. We have Phyllis Schlafly's book on the supremacists. We have William Federer's books. They're all listed alphabetically there under author as well as subject. And then Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization.